Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. So good to see you. Man, God is so good. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. He wants us to do more than just say that, too. You know, we get in the habit, and y'all keep doing that. Say God's good, and we get in the habit of saying all the time. But, hey, He wants us to know it all the time. Huh? Oh, praise God. Here are my prayer warriors here. Those of you that are here, we're going to pray here. Father, thank You. Thank You for binding us together. Thank You, Lord. We want what You want. We want to be part of Your plan. And so, Father, we just join together and we just thank You. And Holy Spirit, we want You to know that we've let You out of the box. And we're not going to try to put You back in. Father, we love You and we praise You and thank You, Jesus. You made it all possible, everything that God has for us, and so we thank You. And right now, I hold these prayer warriors up and their families, and God, we're going to take some territory for You. We need You to lead us and guide us. We're going to take some territory for You, God. We're going to conquer some ground here, God. We're going to take back some of the stuff the devil stole from Your kingdom, and we just give You praise for letting us be part of it. Thank You, Jesus. We do it in Your name. And in Your name, Jesus, I bind, I tie Your hands, I tie Your feet, I bind You up, You foul, dark spirits. Oh, You spirits of infirmity, You spirits of sickness, I bind You, I just tie You up in Jesus' name. All you dark spirits that had tried to stop God's people from receiving, I bind you up and tie you in Jesus' name. And Father, I loose all Your angels. I loose all Your angels right now. Do warfare for these people. Bless them, God. Let them see things in the spirit realm that they never saw before. Oh, God, just do great works and wonders in their lives. And we're going to give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Glory to God. Yeah. Jesus is good. Yeah. Huh? You guys just going to have to excuse me because I'm just getting excited about Jesus. I'm just getting excited about Him. I'm getting excited about the things that do. You know, I'm not waiting on a feeling to be excited. I'm just getting up and saying, God, I'm just going to be, it's a choice. I'm going to be excited about the things You're doing. I'm going to let You do them, God. Woo, I believe signs and wonders to happen in here today. I said, I believe signs and wonders to happen in here today. I believe miracles to happen in your life today. I don't know what you came in here needing, but I know a Jesus that paid the price and already got it for you. So just receive it by faith now. Glory to God. We got Clay was telling me he in the last few months he's got healed of cancer. He had his rotator cup healed in here last week. Glory to God. Glory to God. Steve, they told Steve he had stuff on his liver and cancer or something and all this stuff. And he went and took the CAT scan. Come over here, Steve. He went and took the CAT scan today and it wasn't none of it there anymore. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now I want to ask you a question. If He's going to take all that cancer out of your liver, wouldn't He take the cirrhosis too?
Yes, He will.
So in Jesus' name right now, thank You, Father, for a completely healed liver. We give You praise and glory and honor for that, and we thank You. We receive that from You right now. Right now. Right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Dixie been in the hospital all week. Been in the hospital all week, and here she is. She just got out the other day, and she's at church, man. I just speak God's continual healing in you. You be healed in Jesus' name. Praise God. That embarrass you? I didn't want to embarrass you. But I like to embarrass you, you know. Hey, I don't know, man. We're free. Are you free? Huh? God loves you. He cares about you. I'm going to tell you what. Alice shared a testimony just a few seconds ago about her son-in-law, and he's getting ready to die, and God opened up heaven, Trish, and let him see it. He said, "Well, there's mom and dad. There's so and so, and there's so there's that little girl I played with when I was a little kid." Opened up heaven and let him see it. Yeah. Glory to God. That's where she's at, man. That's where she's at. Glory to God. I didn't even care if I have feelings, but I just got goosebumps all over me. Huh? What do you need from God today? What do you need from Him today? Gonna give it to you if you'll just receive it. Huh? What do you need? Are you discouraged? Just say, I receive encouragement. Make a choice. Don't wait to feel it. Make a choice. You need healing? Say, I believe in, I just receive my healing right now. Wherever that part of your body that's hurting, put your hand on it right now. Father, I just speak healing. I just believe for signs and wonders. I just believe you, God. Whoo, Jesus, I believe you are more than enough. People say, well, I don't know. I've never seen stuff like that before. Did you just get ready? You're going to see a lot of stuff you never saw before. Huh? You don't see a lot of stuff you ever saw, never saw before, because God, this is the last day, and God's already doing things, and I'm just telling Him I want to be a part. So you guys will have to excuse me, because I'm stepping into a realm that I've never been in before. And when He opens a door, you step in, and you really don't know how to act in that realm, and you really don't know what to do in that realm. Oh, I know religious preachers are supposed to act like we do, and we're supposed to act like we know everything and all that, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know anything, but I know the one that does. And I'm learning to hear Him and talk to Him and fellowship with Him. And so I'm just stepping in this door, and you guys have to excuse me. If I do something wrong, I'll come back and do it right later. Don't worry about it, okay? But you got to step out. You got to step out. You got to go ahead and step in there when He opens the door for you. And He's going to take us into some things. Oh, I'm not talking about spooky, gooky, you know, stuff you work up. No, I'm talking about real power in your life. Real power in your life. Well, I think I got something to say here today. Maybe. I don't know. I'm gonna look at Romans 8:1 first. But praise God, got Roundup coming up in 4 weeks. Get thinking about it. Hallelujah. Get to asking people, get to inviting people. And I'm just telling you, I'm believing God this year to pay for Roundup before it gets here. So I asked you last week to pray about it and see what you do. I'm asking you again this week, pray, see what you can do extra. It costs about $9,000 to put Roundup on. Last year we had 35 folks saved. I don't know, that's a pretty cheap price to get somebody that many saved. But I'm believing God for that, and if you can be any part of that, well, you do it. You just ask God and let Him tell you, okay? But you need to be inviting people. We'll be hitting that more the next week or two. Need to be inviting people. Look, this is a good opportunity to invite a bunch of folks, and I believe we're going to see this house full that day. Two of us, if two of us agree, mate. I believe we're going to see this house full that day. And I believe we're going to see this house full that day. Boy, at this rate, it's going to be 5 o'clock before we get done. I believe we're going to see this house full that day. Whew, glory. If you'll just agree with me, I just believe it. And I just believe that every person that comes, God's going to touch them in a way like they've never been touched before. And they'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. How many know if the Lord doesn't build a house, it's built in vain? Well, okay, I won't make you get too excited today then. But I'm excited. I didn't wake up excited. I didn't start off excited. I just made a choice and I got that way, okay? So I'm hoping some of you make a choice and you get that way too, all right? Romans 8:1 says, "There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. I wish that said, I wish that that said that none of us would ever feel any condemnation. Don't you? I mean, that's the way we preach it. Don't be under condemnation. God doesn't want you under condemnation. Well, you know, that's the truth. But as I got to reading this and got to thinking about this, I'm seeing this and I'm thinking here the Holy Spirit through Paul is not so much talking about our attitude towards ourselves. We're going to work on that a little bit. Anybody ever been under condemnation? Come on, let's see if I'm talking to anybody here. Come on, wake up. Anybody here ever been under condemnation? Okay. But I'm thinking here that the Holy Spirit through Paul's not so much talking to us about our attitudes. He's telling us about God's attitude towards us. Are you with me? I want once you understand this, I'll make it simple, so we might not get real far today. But you see, you're not supposed to be under. I made a statement last week. I said if you're under too much condemnation, you shouldn't be. And then I said, how much is too much condemnation? Any condemnation is too much. Okay. And so we're not to be under condemnation, but I think what God's telling us here is that I'm not condemning you. You're not under any condemnation from me. Matthew 6:33. We've been on there a while. We're going to be on that for a long time too, probably, evidently. I can't seem to get away from it, but where's Matthew? Oh, it's right after Malachi, isn't it? Okay. Whoops, that's Mark. That's Luke, or Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, I don't want to take away from anything that you've learned or any lessons you've had on that scripture, because I just don't think anybody's got the whole interpretation of this book. I think we're still seeing stuff. I think this word is pregnant, spiritually pregnant. It's constantly giving birth to us to new revelation about our God, about our Lord and Savior. But last week when I read that, I struck a nerve, and I don't know if you were here, but the Holy Spirit told me something, and I had, I don't know how many people I ministered to that were just under condemnation, and so I just thought I'd talk a little bit about that today. And he says here, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, we went into that a lot last week, and we'll be talking about that some more. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't say seek your righteousness. He didn't say seek my righteousness. He said seek his righteousness. You see, I think the problem is we don't know who we are. We don't know what Christ did for us. I think the biggest problem is we don't realize that we are righteous. And I believe I believe we're to go after God and we're to take by faith what God did for us. What he gave us, what Jesus did for us. We're to take that by faith. See, so I've always read that, and I've just been reading that, like, what can I do, and how much more can I do, and what do I have to do, and how can I live more righteous, and all that. And how many know that stuff's important? But God's telling us, hold it, let me have control of your life. Come do this. We went in that last week. I'm not going to go through that, but he's trying to tell us it's his desire to take care of everything in our life. He wants to take care of everything in our life. And then he says, seek my righteousness. Well, I've been trying to be righteous. And I found out I'm already righteous. I need to seek what he's done for me. I need to live in what he's done for me. See, if I live in me, it's like a dirty, like being a dirty old rag. But what he did is good. What he did is good. Just a little bit of foundation. Let me read you something out of 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Is that right? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Let's just read for a few of them here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many of you were a rascal before you met Jesus? Come on, you little angels. Yeah, I know some of you still are, yeah. Well, so am I sometimes, you know. But he says all that old stuff's passed away. And I've made you new. What he's saying is in my mind's eye, I don't see that old you, I see that new you. That make sense? That gives me a little bit of freedom. And some of you need to quit reminding him of that old you. You need to quit talking about how bad you was, and you need to start talking about how good he is, okay? Quit, get your mouth off yourself. Huh? Anyway. Now, all things are of God, because he made you new, right? Who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Whew. God did it all. He reconciled us. He received us into favor. He brought us into harmony with himself. He got us back. He restored our fellowship with him. Whew. God, he just said he pulled us back to him. And he says, he reconciled us, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's not holding your sins against you anymore. He's not holding your past against you anymore. He's not holding your mess-ups against you anymore. And can I tell you something? When you mess up now, he's still not holding that against you. He says, just tell me you're sorry. Just repent. Just turn from that wicked way, and it'll be okay. We'll just keep on the course. We'll just keep on the path. What a deal. What a deal. And he's done that through Christ. He's made all that possible to us through Jesus. And so we would have a testimony. So we could tell the others what Jesus had done. I'm going to talk to you next week about introducing Jesus. Not this week. And it says, and now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Once you get the feeling of that, Paul says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, and I'm begging you, God's begging, through me, he's begging you to come to him. And for he who knew no sin, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, what Jesus did made you righteous. What Jesus did made me righteous. As far as God's concerned, he looks at us and sees the finished product. Now, I don't know about you. I got a little work to do getting there. How about you? Huh? I mean, how many here are still a work in progress? Huh? But you got to understand, he made us that way already. Now we just conform. We just listen and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into the truth. And we just conform and we move on into that. And he's the only one that can clean us up. You can't clean yourself up. So quit trying to change all that stuff and give it to God. Good. I need somebody to hear me. Give it to God and let Him do it. Quit trying to quit that. And I know we got several in here, and I don't really want to go on this very hard here, very long, but you need to quit trying to quit drugs and alcohol. Because you can accomplish that for a few minutes with your willpower. But when you do it with your willpower, you're just looking forward to the next time that you stumble and have to use again or have to drink again. But when you give that to the Holy Spirit, He's able to take and begin to make something change in you and in here and in here. And pretty soon you don't want to do that anymore. Now I don't want to just get hung up on that, because there's somebody listening to me, and pornography's got a hold on you. And you know, I don't care. You know, I'm just looking. I'm telling you what, it's got a hold on you. And if you aren't set free from that right now, those foul spirits of confusion, those foul spirits of perversion, right now I tie your hands. I bind you in Jesus' name. And anybody that's listening to me that's got that problem, you turn them loose. And Father, I loose the angels, the ministering spirits right now, to do warfare for them, to work for them. Now let me tell you how that works. It's in His name. Jesus did it. So if that's you, I don't care what it is, whether it's pornography, whether it's perverted sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's lying, we could go on and on here, whether it's unforgiveness, whatever it is right now, you don't wait to feel nothing. You make a choice and agree with what I just said. Because when you speak the Word of God, that's when the anointing, that's when the power is there to receive. And so you make a choice and you reach out and you say, I receive that for me. I receive that. And then you start listening and the Holy Spirit will help you. Well, I don't know how I get back on here from there, but... Okay, let's go back to Romans 8:1, I think. You see, I want you to know out of 2 Ephesians here, I want you to understand God's heart. You got to know, see, you got to know, you aren't looking for God. Somebody said, I found God. No, He wasn't lost. You were lost. And it's not a matter of you finding, it's a matter of you making a choice and receiving what He did for you, but you got to understand what that scripture in 2 Corinthians there is talking about. He came after you. He came after me. See, you got to understand something. He loved me so much, He came after me. He loved you so much, He sent Jesus, said, go down and seek and save that's lost. He sought you out. He sought you out. He loved you so much, He couldn't live without you. He sent the most closest thing to His heart to get you back. And if you're here today and you're not back yet, hey, that's why you're here today. Maybe you're watching this on TV. I don't know. But if you're not saved, if you're not back, that's why you're listening to this. Anyway. And the truth is, He demonstrated, Romans, 5:8, He says, He demonstrated that in us. He demonstrated that love towards us, that while we were sinners, He did that for us. Amen. Oh, you see, so we're getting back here to Romans 8:1 about being in condemnation. You know, hey, listen, you need to understand, no, He came after you. Yeah, I know how sorry you are, and I know how bad you are, and I know how inferior you are, and I know all the rest of that stuff because I'm the same way. But He came after you. And He didn't wait for you to get everything right. He came after you while you were a mess. Anybody here ever been a mess? Well, everybody didn't raise your hand. You're still one. I saw Dan get his up real quick there. Okay, so back to Romans. See, he did that for you while you were bad, while you were a mess. We got a tendency in religion to tell everybody, straighten up, and God will love you. No, he loved you while you was messed up. Thank you, Jesus. And so he demonstrated that. So how do we become righteous? We receive it by faith. We reach out to him by faith. You see, our faith, help me say this, Holy Spirit. My faith reaches out into the unseen world and pulls into existence what grace has already given me. Starts with salvation. I reach out with my faith and I pull in what Jesus did for me. But that's the same principle with your healing. It's the same principle with everything, your finances. It's the same principle with everything. We reach out and we pull in. Faith reaches out and pulls in what grace gave us. That's pretty good, because God said in Ephesians 2, He said, I've raised you up. You were dead in your sins and trespasses, and I raised you up. I seated you with Jesus so I could show you the exceeding riches of my grace in Christ Jesus. You just give me a chance, and I'm going to show you something. Well, guess I'm more excited than some of you. Okay, so back where are we at? We were going back to Romans. I keep saying that, and then I don't go there. Anyway, well, I won't keep you over. It's a holiday. I won't keep you over. Don't worry. I'll quit when it's time. Maybe. I won't punish you because you came to church on a holiday. How about that? Oh, wow. There now for no condemnation to those who walk, who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I don't have time to teach on all this, but if you'll read this and find out what this is saying here, you know, I don't know. I know that the number one way the devil gets a hold of us. How many know Jesus said in John 10:10? He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." How many of you know he's pretty good at his job? Huh? He's pretty good at his job. But Jesus is even better at his job, and he said, "But I came so you could have life and have it more abundantly." Okay? So yeah, Jesus is better at his job than the devil is at his job. We just have to decide who we're going to line up with, who we're going to cooperate with. Does that make sense? But the number one way he gets you is in your mind. And if he can get you to feeling ugly about yourself and get you to not liking yourself and get you to feeling like you're just a nobody and that you're just a nothing and you don't have any talents and you don't have any abilities and you just don't have any, you're just no good, your best days are behind you. You don't. If he can get you to believe in that, if he can get you to feeling guilty, if he can make you feel shame, that's two good words, guilty and shame. That's why he went to the cross, because the cross was a sign of guilt and shame. It was the most despicable, most shameful thing in the world to have to be crucified on a cross. He took your guilt and your shame. He took it, and that's why he says you don't have to live under it. Well, how do you come out from it? You don't just wake up one day and just start it. Amen. No, you make a choice. You make a choice right now. You make a choice right now. I'm going to live in what you did, Jesus. I'm going to live in. See, we already laid a little foundation there. He reconciled you. He did all the work. He did all the hard part. He did all the work. And now all you have to do is do all the faith. And that's just receive what he did for you. Well, and now, boy, I'll get hung up here and I don't have time. But remember this, I was thinking, you know, I always get hung up or did get hung up when it said walking according to the flesh and walking according to the spirit. How many know there's scriptures in there that say that? Said, oh, don't yield to the flesh, but yield to the spirit. And you know, we're walking around here trying to get fizzy headed and trying to figure out what that means, and we got folks that think they know what it means, and we think it's some kind of action, and we think it's some kind of holiness, and we think it's some kind of it's almost like a mirage. I mean, it's some kind of something that we're all acting like we have, and none of us have it. Let me tell you something easy that'll help you understand that phrase. When he talks about living in the flesh or walking after the flesh, just think about this. Now, I'm not trying to take away anything you already know, because some of y'all are way smarter than me, and I'm serious about that. But when he's talking about walking according to the flesh or walking according to the spirit, he's talking about thinking. He's talking about your thinking. Are you thinking the natural way, or are you thinking God's way? Is your mind on the fleshly things, the earth? Whose report are you believing? Are you listening to the world's report, or are you listening to God's report? If you're thinking in line with natural thinking, then man, you're afraid every time you turn the news on, because the world's going to hell and the economy's falling and the stuff's happening and there's plagues everywhere and the stuff's happening and ISIS is going to get us, and if he doesn't, there's another boogeyman that will. So I'm either conformed to that image or I'm conformed to the other image. Does that make sense to you? I'm just trying to help you understand. See, I'm going to follow the way I think. As I think in my heart, that's the way I'm going to be. She said, well, no, he's talking about doing fleshly things. Well, you know, I know that, but I do fleshly things every day, don't you? Let's don't do any fleshly things. Okay, then, when we dismiss here, don't anybody eat anything today, because that's a fleshly thing. Huh? See, folks, we are flesh. We live in a natural world. But that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. You see, we're in this kingdom, but we're not of this kingdom. We got a bigger king. We got a higher king. We got somebody that has the final say in our kingdom. And it doesn't matter if there isn't any money. He can get you what money buys. Huh? Well, Egypt, they walked out of Egypt and they took all the gold and silver. They had all the money of Egypt. That's why Pharaoh came after them. He didn't want them back. He wanted the stuff back. And they got out in the desert and they had all the silver and gold out of Egypt. Man, God had just gave them favor and they just gathered it all up and carried it out. And there wasn't even a Quick Trip store for them to buy a slushie or anything. But they still ate, didn't they? And they still drank. Well, that one was free. But what I'm trying to say is how are you thinking? See, if I'm walking after the flesh, I'm thinking like the flesh thinks. I'm thinking about all this other stuff. I'm operating like the flesh operates. I'm thinking about all this stuff. But if I'm going after God, if I'm trying to hear what He's saying, if I'm trying to pay attention to what He says, then my life's different. You don't have to tell me, don't do this, don't hang out there, don't go over there. I don't want to, because something's different in me. Can you go over there? Yes, I can go over there. I can roll the dice, or I can hold a car. I can do that, but I don't want to. Well, and if you want to, don't get under condemnation. Just ask God, God, is this something you want me to do? And if it is, then let me keep the peace. And if it's not, then you lead me by your peace. You know, now don't ask God for something unless you really want it. Huh? Don't ask Him to be closer to you unless you really want to, or be closer to Him unless you really want to be closer to Him. Are you hearing me? How many want to be closer to God? That's a trick question. Just tell you up front. Don't ask Him to be closer to you unless you want to be closer to Him. Because He says, Hank, do you really want to be closer to me? Then let me explain something to you. You and I are incompatible, and I don't change. Do you really want to be closer to me, Hank? Yes, Father, I want to be closer to you. Okay, then there's some stuff in your life we need to work on. Well, did I hit that enough? So, how am I being led by the flesh? Am I being led by the lust of the flesh? Am I being led by the lust of money, by the lust of sex, by the lust of whatever? Am I being led by this other stuff? Or am I trying to tune in to God? Am I trying to turn my life around? And don't worry, you won't get everything fixed the first week. I know some of you think you have, but you'll find, show them, Lord. Show them this week. I've been in this thing almost 42 years, and I'm just now getting started. A few years ago, I thought I was pretty good. A few years ago, I thought I kind of had a handle on this thing, and whew, my whole world came unraveled. But that's okay. I'm just a work in progress, so I can take right where I am. I can be happy right where I am, and I can say, God, help me take the next step. And I do. I told Him this morning. I said, help me step on into this realm. Help me step on. Now, don't go too fast for me, God. Don't go too fast, because I kind of got to adjust while I'm doing this. God won't make you go too fast, but He'll make you keep going. Well, anyway, what we're thinking. See, God doesn't want you to be feeling guilty. He doesn't want you to be feeling under the gun all the time. Man, He wants you to be free. Because He's got good things planned for you. Why does He tell us to think, you know, why does He stop us from doing this and have us start doing that? And why does He change things in our life? Because He wants what's good for us. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you're facing today. He knows the end of that thing. Huh? And He knows your end from your beginning. I want to read a verse out of Isaiah 46. I think it's verse 10. But it says this. It says that He's the God. It says in verse 9, it says he's God. It said He's declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. I like one translation. It says, only I can tell the future before it happens. And everything I plan will come to pass because I do whatever I wish. That's a God I serve. He knows your end from your beginning. I heard somebody say this, and I don't remember who, and I probably said it before, but you know when they make a movie, they usually tape the end of the movie first, and then they work everything in the movie to the end. Can I tell you what happened when you asked Jesus into your heart? God saw you at the end of the movie. He saw you at the end. Whenever you got saved, he saw the finished product. And now He says, hey, I'm gonna work you that way. I'm going to mold you. Will you just stay on the wheel? I'm going to mold you. I'm going to help you. Just stay on the wheel. We all go ahead and go, but we're not close yet. So. But anyway, He knows. See, He sees your life completed. He sees it completed. He doesn't look at you where you are today. See, we do, and when we look at where we're at, we feel like we come up short. When we feel like, we feel like we're not enough. We feel like we don't have enough, or we don't, we could never be enough. And you know, folks, that's just lies from the devil. God sees you. You know, he sees you how He expects and how He plans for you to end. And I don't know if you can grab a hold of this. You'll begin to understand that it's not that in the process, in all the times in life when we find ourselves, when we've fallen down, when we've messed up, when we've done the wrong, when we find ourselves in those positions, we can just keep on going because God's looking at the end. He's looking at the picture. He looks at you and He sees Jesus. And He's conforming you into His image. Hey, see, that can keep me going because I don't know. I'm not like some of you. I fall short. I start to say every day, but I have to change that whole bunch of times every day. Huh? And see, what are you looking at? Are you looking at what you've accomplished or what you haven't accomplished? What are you looking at? Do you see yourself where you are, or do you see yourself at the end of the race? See, God's working everything in your life so you'll end up like He planned for you to end up. And that's why He even takes the mess ups. He even takes all the bad stuff. He even takes all the terrible stuff that happens in our life. Because see, who does? I'm tired of people saying, God's doing this to me. God's killing my family. God's making me poor. God's trying to humble me. God's trying, you know, hold it, man. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came so we could have life. So quit blaming God for the thief's work. But that doesn't mean if you're involved in some of the thief's business, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong, because we're in this world, and as long as we're in this world, we'll be having trouble from him. Jesus even called him the God of this world. Well, God's in control of everything. Well, I know he can change everything and do everything, but you know, the devil's operating under some authority that God gave man, and man gave it to the devil. And it's just through Jesus that we're getting some of this back. Got it all back, but it's just through Jesus that we're starting to realize some of this. Anyway, he's working things. That's what Romans 8:28 says. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God and those who are called according to His purpose. You see, He's working all those things that the devil does to try to mess your life up. He's taking all those things and working them for your good. So I'm saying, you know, you need to start looking ahead. You know, the devil does a lot of things, but we don't have to cooperate with him. You need to start looking ahead because God's got some big things planned for you. He's got some good things planned for you. We need to anticipate what lies in our future. Anticipate the goodness. You know, expect. You know why we're seeing more supernatural signs and wonders? Why miracles and why things are starting to happen? Why we're seeing livers healed? Why we're seeing cancers gone? Why we're seeing rotator cuffs healed? And somebody's been having some ankle trouble and God's healing that ankle right now. If you start moving it around, you'll find out it's not hurting anymore. But you know why we're seeing that stuff? Because we're starting to expect it. We're starting to anticipate it. I'm anticipating God doing big things in my life, good things in my life. I'm anticipating Him doing good things for you and big things for you. I'm expecting Him to do it. And He's excited about that. Well, I just don't want to expect too much. Well, then you won't have too much. That's fine and that's great. You're going to go to heaven too if you got Jesus in your heart. Man, you can enjoy the trip a little bit better if you just let Him do some of the stuff He wants to do. And you got to know the devil wants to do everything he can to stop what God wants to do in your life. Condemnation's the biggest way he does it. Making you feel guilty. Making you feel like you can't. Making you feel like you're not enough. Making you feel like you don't have enough. Well, I had a chance and I missed it. I heard that one the other day. I missed my chance. Hey, are you still breathing? You didn't miss your chance then. Are you still breathing? Yeah, God's got stuff for you. He's got good stuff for you. It's not over till it's over. It's not over till the skinny lady sings. I said that the other way, and it was in front of a fat lady, and I thought, boy, I'm not ever going to say that again. That just wasn't right. That just wasn't nice. Psalms 139:16 says that all the days are ordained for me. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to pass. You see, he knew how you ended up before you were ever started. Jeremiah 1:5, he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You know, he said that to Jeremiah, but you know what? He says that to you too. He's got your steps ordered. He's got a destination for you. And you just need to quit thinking little and just think God could use me. And listen, it's not, you might not ever be a voice that tells, you know, you might ever be a big time person that does all these great things that everybody sees. But you know, what he's got for you is just as big and important as what he's got for Billy Graham. What you do, if that's what he's ordained that you do, is just as important as to him as what Billy Graham's done. How many think Billy Graham's done a lot in his life? And nobody might not ever know who you are, but Jesus knows. And that's where we ought to look for our gratification. That's where we ought to look for our fulfillment, is to him. How many ever heard of Billy Graham? How many ever heard of Mordecai Ham? See, not very many. But Mordecai is the one that got Billy Graham saved. Huh. I don't know, Nathan. What if you don't ever do nothing except put some seed in one teenager's life? And that teenager grows up and sees whole cities saved. That'd be enough, wouldn't it? That'd be enough, wouldn't it? See, we know Billy Graham, we just don't know Mordecai Graham. Ham. And I was looking at the story there, and the funny thing was is that Dwight Moody, who ever heard of Dwight Moody? Dwight Moody had a meeting. We know Dwight Moody, he was a great evangelist. He had a meeting, and there was a guy named Wilbur Chapman in one of his meetings and got saved. Now, I don't know, anybody ever hear of Chapman? Not very many. Wilbur Chapman was the one, he's known by most people to be the one that started street evangelism. In 1903 or 1908, he went into Philadelphia and he organized. He split the city in 42 different parts, and he got 21 groups of an. He'd get a preacher and some music people, and they'd go into all these parts of the city. And in 3 weeks, they got 8,000 people saved. Dwight Moody probably got millions of people saved, but he got Wilbur Chapman saved. And look what he did. Now the whole thing was, and I'll get on here, but the whole thing was is that Wilbur Chapman, he worked, and in one of his meetings there was a man named Billy Sunday. And some of you maybe heard about Billy Sunday. He was a professional baseball player that got saved and started being an evangelist and got thousands and thousands of people saved. He'd go into towns. The anointing was so strong they would shut the bars down. They'd shut all the houses of ill repute down because everybody was wanting to get saved. And it was Wilbur Chapman in one of his meetings that he influenced Billy Sunday. You say, well, why are you telling that story? Well, because I just like to tell it, and some of you don't ever, you know, if you really want to study God, you need to study out some of these old people, the people of old that God used mightily. He won't do it the same way, but he'll do it, and he's already starting to do it now. But so Sister Dwight Moody, he got Wilbur Chapman saved. And Wilbur Chapman, in one of his meetings, he influenced a guy named Billy Sunday. And it just so happened that Billy Sunday was doing a meeting in North Carolina, and he just happened in 1934 to talk Mordecai Ham into coming over there and doing a meeting that Billy Graham walked in and got saved in. I don't know, see. I'm just saying, you know, we need to quit listening to the devil's lies. Quit listening to him and realize, hold it, man, there's greatness in you. Everybody say, there's greatness in me. Everybody say that there's greatness in me. Now, it's not of you, but is the greater one in you? If the greater one's in you, there's greatness in you. And God's got a plan. And so what if you just did that one thing and that one teenager did those great things, or that one teenager got somebody else saved, that got somebody else saved, got somebody else saved, that got somebody else saved, and they did the big things. Does it matter? If folks get saved in here today, did you know that the ones that got here at 8:30 or so and turned on all the lights and turned the air on and got everything going? Did you know the ones that are working in the nursery, the ones that are working in the children's church, the ones that are working in the teen, the ones that are driving the carts, the ones that are doing everything, the TV crew downstairs, the camera crew? Do you understand everything? Everything. Do you understand if people get saved in here today that everybody's part was important in that? I don't know, I guess I'll stop with this because I told you I would, but I'll just be honest with you, you know, my heart was never to be standing up here and doing this. Maybe that's why I'm here. I tried to get out of it a bunch of times. That didn't work. But my heart was, you know, when I started here almost 42 years ago, man, and I was here when we moved from 26th Street over here, man, all I wanted to do was put screws in the backs of these seats, and all I wanted to do was clean these coves and paint the floors in the dungeon, and I just wanted to do something for Jesus because He had done everything for me. And many of you that were here, you're the same way. That's the same heart you got. I just think, and I had a whole bunch of stuff there to bring you to a point, but I think the Holy Spirit, he just always does it without me. I don't know. I don't understand that. But yeah, we've got to. If the devil can keep you messed up in your mind, if he can keep you feeling inferior, if he can keep you feeling unimportant, if he can keep you feeling guilty and make you feel shame, then you're never going to step into all that stuff God's got for you. But if you can get out of that mode, if you can quit thinking fleshly and start thinking spiritually, what's that? God has made me. God has done great things for me. God has great plans for me. God's going to do great things through me. God's using me. I don't know what you have for me today, God, but I don't have time to think about all that negative stuff. I don't have time to think about how bad I am. I was bad. Okay, I give you that bad and I take your good, Jesus. I don't have time to think about it. What do you want me to do today? What do you have for me today? Well, let's just quit. How about that? Who in here? Everybody shut your eyes for a minute. Who in here has been fighting a battle with condemnation? Nobody's looking. We don't embarrass you. Just condemnation, feeling guilty, feeling bad. Who else? Come on. Come on. Who in here has messed up and you just really felt bad about messing up and just felt like, man, I'm just probably, God's mad at me. I'm probably not. Hold it. Why don't you just, if you messed up, why don't you just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, I'm going to believe here right now for something. And this spirit of condemnation has to turn loose of this church. It has to turn loose of you. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you. I speak to you, spirit of condemnation. You have no place in our minds and in our hearts. So I tie your hands, I tie your feet, I bind you up in Jesus' name. And you set God's people free. Angels, minister to this people. Minister the grace and the goodness that God's provided for them. Touch their life right now. If you've been fighting that battle, just right now say, hey, I make a choice. I'm not thinking that way anymore. I make a choice. God, I'm going to think about your love. I'm going to think about how you feel about me. I'm going to think about how you care about me. You make that choice, and something's already beginning to change in your life. Now let me say something. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction will convict you of wrong. Convict you of being unsaved. Convict you of not being right with God. But God doesn't want you to be in condemnation about that. He just wants you to turn to Him. And He says, if you'll just turn to me, that's what repentance is. I'm just going to turn away from the wrong. I'm just going to turn away from that and turn to you, God. And if you'll do that right now, something will change in your life. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to have you stand. How many here have made a decision today, I'm not going to live under condemnation anymore? If that's you, just raise your hand, but I'm not going to live there anymore. I make that choice. Now say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. And if you genuinely ask Him, He'll help you. So when those thoughts come, you push them out and you replace them with something else. You replace them with something good God says about you. But there's a difference between condemnation and if you're in here and you know you're not right with God, that's conviction. And that's why you're here today, is so you can be right with Him. And somebody in here, you're caught between because you don't know if it's conviction or condemnation. Because you think you were right, you think you were saved, you think you were right, but something keeps condemning you in there. You just don't know for sure. Hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity here now just to settle that thing right once and for all. Because either you're not saved or the devil's tormenting you, and either way, we need you helped. We need you fixed. So if you're here today and you don't know you're right and you're not for sure exactly what's happening, I'm gonna ask you to come down here and I'm going to pray with you. But everybody go ahead and stand. If you're here and you don't know for sure, come down here and just let me pray for you real quick. It won't take all day. I'll get you out of here. You're tired of fighting this thing. You're tired of vacillating back and forth. If you don't know you're right, if you just feel like something's wrong, you know, that's why God tells us, the Bible tells us to confess Him before men. That's why we make the decision. That's why we end up making it public. That's why we come down. That's why we get baptized, is because the enemy comes to us and he tries to convince us that we're something that we're not. But when you've put action to what you believe, when you've put action to that, then something changes inside and He comes and tells you that and you say, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. So if you need to come, just come on right now.